The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Mo'ed Katan, Daf Chav Gimel. Today's Daf is being studied. Le'adu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu began Eden. Amen. Today's Daf is being studied. Le'adu Nishmat Ezra ben Mazal. Shniftar b'kitzur yamim v'shanim. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chav Bet Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom. Al Chacham Cholet Miyamin Al Av Bedin Misemol Al Nasi Mikan Umikan. We discussed in yesterday's Gemara the law of Halitzat Katef. When they used to take the deceased to burial, the mourners used to reveal their shoulders in order as to show as a sign of avelut. So the Gemara says, Al Hakam, that's the rabbi of the city. He's the one that gives the, let's say, the halachot out. So if he passes on, Cholet Miyamin. So the people, they reveal their right shoulder. Al Abedin, right, that's the head of the court, that's the Abedin for the whole city. That everybody is kafuf to him, everybody is beholden to him. So that is missemol. They do to the left side. They reveal themselves, the shoulder. Al nasi, and on the nasi of Klal Yisrael, mikan ulekan. Seems that the nasi's level is higher than all of the previous ones. Comes out of nasi, is similar to the kiri'ah of an av and an em when it comes to three things. That means just like on the mother and the father, you're not allowed to sew up the rip, the tear, you're not allowed to sew it up the normal way. That halitzat katef is done for the av and em as well, like that. And kiri'ah mibahutz. The kiri'ah has to be done in a public fashion where everybody sees the person making the kiri'ah. Comes the Gemara further. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braita. Hacham shemet, bet midrasho batel. A hacham passes on, so his bet midrash, where he taught, is batel. Which means they do not hold sessions in the limud after he passes on. They don't not learn. Everybody learns in their houses instead. The Talmidim go in like Havrutot, and they pair up in pairs of twos, and they go study in their houses. No, the entire seven. They do not learn together in the Bet Midrash, per se. That's a sign of Avelut, and they close down as Bet Midrash. But she says, Otan Sherigidim Lelmot Torah Mepiv. Those that are accustomed to learn Torah from him, they do not go to the Bet Midrash. Av Bedin Shemet. Okay, the Abedin that goes, passes on, is the Abedin of the whole city. Called Batei Midrashot Shebi'iro Betelin. So not only his Bet Midrash is Batel, all the Batei Midrash in the city are Batel, because since everybody learns Torah from the Abedin, so they mevatel all the Batei Midrash. V'chnasim lebet HaKneset, which is the normal people that would pray in the Bet Midrash, instead, they enter the Bet Knesset, and it says, "Umshanin et mekomam," and the people that enter the Bet Knesset, they sit in different seats. Hayoshvim basafon, yoshvim badarom. Hayoshvim badarom, yoshvim basafon. People that normally sit in the north sit in the south, and the ones in the south sit in the north. It means they enter the Bet Knesset, but they do not sit in the normal fashion. They do this, the Mefashim explain, is to symbolize that now that the Abedin has died, nobody knows the where to go. Everybody is, so to speak, lost. Everybody's out of sync. So therefore they put everybody who sits in a different place. That's a symbol of the direction that is lost when the Abedin passes on. Comes the Gemara and continues, Nasi Shemet, well, that's the president, that's the highest position. Batei midrashot kulan betelim. That means any bet midrash that they are going to be maspid him, which means they would eulogize all over the country. They would eulogize the nasi. So all the batim midrash that they would maspid the nasi, those batim midrash are batel, which means they technically close them up. In any event, the Gemara says, "Ubnei haKnesset nichnasim lebet haKnesset." The people of that city where the nasi passed away, they go to the Bet Knesset, veKorin shiva, and they read seven olim. Now this is talking about they go to the Bet Knesset obviously on Shabbat. When they go to the Bet Knesset on Shabbat, they send up seven people to the Torah like the normal way, the yotzim. And then they go out, which means the Gemara is trying to say they do not pray besibur during the week that the nasi passes away. Out of like a sign of avelut, they do not pray besibur with a minyan. They only go on Shabbatot, on some say Mondays and Thursdays as well, to the Bet Knesset to hear the Sefer Torah. You know, they send up seven people on Shabbat and three people on Monday and Thursday, and the rest they pray biyahid. So that's another way of saying that the tefillot during the week of the passing of the nasi are done biyahid. And they only go on Shabbat. Right, that's what Ritva says. Ritva says they only go on Shabbat to the Bet Knesset to read the Sefer Torah, just so the Bet Knesset won't be batel legamre, and they want to close down the shul in totality. Okay. So it comes out according to this, even if they had a Sefer Torah in the house of the Avil, they would go to the Bet Knesset and read it, because they don't want to close the synagogue conclusively. There's other issues that want to say no. They would go to the Bet Knesset even on Mondays and Thursdays, and the Gemara that said they go on Shabbat is the Hiddush is that the mourners themselves, they don't leave at all. Even on Shabbat, she's the mourners themselves for the nasi, they stay home. So everybody else, they go to the Bet Knesset only. They go on Shabbat and Mondays and Thursdays. But the Hiddush is even on Shabbat, the mourners stay in the house. He says over here an important point. Masheen ba'im l'tpele b'Shabbat ena nechshevet avelut b'farhesya. Normally on Shabbat, avelut in parhesya is asur. Now here, all of a sudden, nobody's showing up for shul on Shabbat. Right? They're just coming for the Sefer Torah. So it looks like people are involved in Avelut Farhesya. So how do you get around that? So he says, because we have a rule. Anything that you do, b'sheva al ta'aseh, anything that you do in a passive manner, is not considered Avelut b'Farhesya. It's only things that you do actively to show Avelut. But here, you're just refraining. So refraining from something does not fall under the category Avelut b'Farhesya. So they're not going to the shul. So that's not a problem. So again, the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yoshua mekorcha omer, lo sheyilchu v'tayelu bashuk, ela yosvim v'domim." Rabbi Yoshua is just adding that which we say they don't go to the synagogue doesn't mean that they're just going to now people are going to roam around in the marketplace. There's no, all the families they sit together, mishpachot, and they sit quietly. Dreams, they're mourning. They sit and they mourn the death of the Nasi. He's not arguing on Tanakama, he's just coming to explain the Tanakama. Look at the Rashi. V'korin shiva b'sefer Torah de'en mitpalelim yachad b'bet ha'kneset ela kol echad v'echad mitpalel b'beto, as we said. Okay, now comes the Gemara, gives the next din. Now we discuss some more minhagim that take place in the Bet Avel. Ve'en omrim shimua ve'agada bebet Avel. Halakha says they do not say, let's say, words of halakha. Devresh shimua, the words of halakha, let's say, of the Amoraim, or devre agada, agadot from the Gemara, in the house of the Avel. Why? Because it's going to take the Avelim's mind away from the Avelut, and we want them to focus on the mourning. Amru alav Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel shehaya omer shmu'a v'agada bebet Avel. The Gemara says, but of Hananya ben Gamliel, he would say shmu'a v'agada in the house of the Avel. So We have to see exactly what's his logic. So they want to explain that the whole machloket over of Hananiah ben Gamliel is on Shabbat, which is he allowed on Shabbat to say Divrei Torah in the house of the Avel, because he held en din avelut noheget b'Shabbat. So therefore, since he was en avelut b'Shabbat, he allowed on Shabbat to say the Divrei Torah. The Ramban and the Ritbah have a different interpretation of this Gemara. They say that we're talking about over here in the Bet Midrash of the Avel. That's what's talking about, not in the house of the Avel. It says Bebet Avel, it means the Bet Midrash of the Avel. So therefore, you have, let's say, a Chacham. Or you have, let's say, an Abedin or a Nasi, like the cases we just said. So we said that the Bet Midrash is Batel for the week. So what does it mean, Batel? He explains it's Batel from Limud Be'ayun. And when they close the Bet Midrash, then they don't study in depth. However, the first opinion, Tanna Kamma, is saying not only Ayun, even Shemuot, even Peskei Halachot, even Devarei Agadah, you don't say there. Not on Chol, not on Shabbat, because that's the Deen. So therefore, we understand the logic according to this opinion, and then the Rav Hananya comes along and says, no, that the only thing that was Asur is Ayun, but studying Agadah and Halacha, these things are permissible. So that can explain the minhag that people have to say Divrei Torah in the house of the Avel today. Because if you're saying that this was a deen only in the laws of Bet Midrash of the Nasi or the Abedin or the Hakam, that justifies why they read Tehillim in the house of the Avel, and they say also Divrei Torah amongst themselves, because it was not said the Gabeh, the Bet Avel per se. Okay, so that's that halacha. Taru Rabbanan. Now the Gemara discusses the different things that a mourner is supposed to, the way he's supposed to act. Avel Shabbat Rishona. Shabbat Rishona means the first week. Shabbat Avel means a week. The first week of his Avelut, Enu Yotze Mepetach Beto. He's not allowed to leave his house, which means not to pray, not to learn, because it seems that leaving the house is like a simcha. And we don't want to, he doesn't want to give an impression that he's rebelling against the Gezerah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu took away a relative from him. Therefore, he has to humble himself and he has to stay in the house. According to this, the Magen Avraham writes, if he has, doesn't have a minyan in his house, he prays B'yachid. The Mefarshim point out as well, the Tur, even for Dvar Mitzvah, he's not Yotzeh. And we even learned in a previous Gemara that even to go visit somebody else, that is mourning, only after 3 days is he allowed to go and visit them. Okay, the next din. Shiniyah, that's the second week after his mourning period, Yotze, he's able to go out of his house. Ve'enu yoshev bimkomo. But he does not sit in the normal seat in the Bet Knesset, because he has to sit in a different place. Okay, and that's for that, matter in his Bet Midrash, if he learns. But wherever he sits, he always has to change his place. However, in his house, he does not have to change his place. Now, what does it mean, change his place? The Mefashim says, as long as you sit, he sits 4 amot away from where he normally sits, that's considered Makom Acher. The reason for this is in order to show that he's be'avilut, so people will come and console him. Okay, it's a siman. That should be noted that even the first week, when he's in cases where, let's say, he's allowed to go, let's say on Shabbat, he's allowed to go to the Bet Knesset, he also changes his seat on the Shabbat. It should be noted that that's not considered avilut be'farhesya. That's why he's sitting in a different seat. So the Mefarshim say, because people do change their seats from time to time in the synagogue. So if it doesn't look like a blatant avelut, so that even when he goes on Shabbat to sit in a different place, that would be permissible.
So it's not good to put him in the back? Usually.
That's fine, that's fine. Since people do change seats from time to time, that's where they get the minhag from, that he sits in the back. Okay.
How come he's allowed out on Shabbat?
On Shabbat they let him out. Or in a case where, let's say, he was allowed to go out, they had a, he was a rav and they needed him, or davar aved, or cases where they would allow him out, even then he would change his seat. So that's the din of the second week. Shilishit, the third week, Yoshev b'mkomo. Then he's able to go back to his regular seat. Ve'eno medaber, but he does not speak in the normal way. I mean, he doesn't show talking and things like that, but he sits quietly. Okay? He sits a little more reserved. Okay, so they want to treat him, more serious. The Bach. Right, he has Eno Medaber already in the week before.
But it's Yotzen.
Right, the Hadush is that in the third week, he can go back to his seat. Right, we're just taking off the restriction of going back to his seat.
Right.
But there's still Eno Medaber. Okay. Rebi'it, that's the fourth week. Harehu Kechon Adam. The fourth week already, now he's considered like every person, and he does whatever he wants. He sits in a regular seat, he goes out, and he could talk and be regular. Okay. Now, of course, the Gemara says over here, a little machloket, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo tzrechu lomar Shabbat lishona lo yetz mepetach beto. He says, you don't got to tell me the first week. The first week is obvious. He doesn't leave his house. She'arei hakol nechnasim lebeto lenachamo. Of course, where's he leaving? Everybody's coming to visit him. Everybody's coming to console him. So it goes without saying, the first week doesn't go out. So therefore, don't got to tell me the first week. So start like this. Ela, when the rabbis were giving the degrees of what he's allowed to do during the weeks following his avelut, started from the second week. And say, Shinya inu yotze mepetach beto. The second week, he still cannot leave his house. We need to go to the Bet Knesset. But the Ramban says to go to his work and be permissible. But not to go to Bet Knesset. Shilishit yotze venu yoshev mekomo. The third week, he can go out, but he cannot sit in the normal place. Right? Revi'it yoshev mekomo. And then, venu medaber. And he's limited in how he talks. And then the fifth week is considered like everybody else. So Rabbi Yehuda pushes up the program by 1 week. At the first 2 weeks, he's not allowed to go out of his house. And then the fifth week already, he becomes like Kol Adam. Halakha, according to Shulchan Aruch, is like Tanakama. Tanu Rabbanan, we have another braita. Kol Shloshim Yom. That would be the first 30 days. Linisuin. That means it's forbidden for an avel to get married until after 30 days, so the beginning of avelut. That would be, for example, if he's mitabel on his son or his brother. However, if he's mitabel on his mother and his father, the sufim to get married for 12 months. Because we said that even to go to a simha, when it comes to a mother and a father, it's a 12-month period. Because she can't, he himself, go to his own simcha, so he has to be mahmir for 12 months. Okay? When it comes to... okay, so that's that. So again, Tanu Rabbanan, kol shloshim yom linisuin. Meta ishto. Let's say a person's wife passes away. Asur lisa isha acheret al she'avru alav shelosha regalim. So then the rule is he has to wait until three holidays pass, but not any holidays, three regalim. Now, this is not because his wife passing away is more strict than anybody else. So what's the reason? So the Mefarshim say that if he would get married sooner, it would look as if he's not mitzta'ed on his wife. It would look like, as if he didn't care too much about his first wife. Others explain that we want the person to remain a widower for the first three negalim without simcha, in order that he doesn't forget the happiness that he had with his first wife. Others explain that we want him to forget his wife, because if he's going to be with the second wife and he's going to be thinking of his first wife, that can affect the children. That's supposed to be thinking of somebody else when you're with somebody else. So therefore, they say wait a longer period of time to need the galim, so she's forgotten to a degree, therefore will not affect the next situation. That's the Tosfot brings down these reasons. The question is, what about Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, even though we learned in the Mishnah, are considered regalim legabeh hafsaka, which means if somebody dies before Rosh Hashanah breaks it, and dies before Kippur, it breaks it. But for this, the only regalim are the legitimate Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. That's why the Mefarshim say, Oves Ramban. Now, regarding a lady, okay, that her husband passes away, she is permissible to get married after 30 days. She does not have to wait the Shlosha Regalim. Because the lady, it seems, needs a man to protect her. She needs the security, and therefore they're lenient on that way. Okay. And the Mefarshim, the Shach says over here, Ve'od Shaisha Noach La Bechol Ba'al Shehu. Lady is easy, she settles to get married with really anybody. Ve'shukhachat Ahavat Ba'ala Yoter Maher. She forgets the love of her husband quicker than the husband. So it's harder on the husband than it is on the wife. Therefore, well, actually, it's not 1 month, it's 90 days, I should point out. The time of Havhana, just to make sure that she wasn't pregnant from the first husband. So the first she waited a 90-day period in order to know that she's not pregnant, because then you already would notice it, and that she can get married to somebody else. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, so that's the first deen, that a wife that passes away, the husband has the three degalim rule. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Regel Rishon Vesheni Asur. He says the first two regalim Asur, Shilishi Mutar. Okay? Now, there are some poskim that rule like Rabbi Yehuda, Saramban, based on the principle Halacha, Kedevreha Mekel, Be'avel. We usually rule like the lenient opinion. However, other Rishonim posek like Tanakama, because this is not an Avelutin over here. The three regalim, there's different reasons why we said, and therefore they posek like the three regalim rule. That's actually the opinion of Shulchan Aruch as well. Okay, Gemara continues. There is a dispensation, the Gemara says. Vim en lo banim, if let's say he doesn't have children, he did not fulfill the mitzvah of piriyah v'riviyah, meaning he does not have at least a son or a daughter, mutar lisa le'altar. It's permissible for him to get married immediately. Mishum bitul piriyah v'riviyah. Because if he's not going to get married, he's going to wait for three regalim, he's going to be vatel this multiple mitzvah piriyah v'riviyah. Now, we're going to see exactly what does the altar mean. What does immediately mean? Oh, wait, we'll see that in a moment. Well, let's say he was left with little babies, little children, and needs somebody to take care of them. Mutar lisa le'altar. He's able to also get married immediately. Which means in order that somebody's going to raise them. And, a woman is obviously more prone for raising the children, the babies, the children, more than the man. She's home with them. So therefore, in that case, it would be permissible as well. Gemara tells the Maaseh, Maaseh shemeta ishto shel Yosef HaKohen. There's a Maaseh, a fellow called Yosef HaKohen, that his wife died. Ve'amar la'achota bebet ha'kivarot. And already in the cemetery, he told her sister, the sister of his wife, Lechi ufarnesi et bnei achotech, go and take care of your sister's children, which means he was trying to say, I'm going to marry you, and therefore go take care of them. Ve'af al pichen lo ba'aleha ela lizman miruba. But he did not actually have relations with her until much time passed. So the Gemara says, "My lizman miruba." What's lizman miruba? Amar papa le'achad shiloshim yom. It's after 30 days. Now, to understand this over here, the Rishonim have a machloket over here. What's considered le'altar? that we said above, that if you didn't fulfill Periyu Rivu, or you know, he has little children, what's considered the Altar? And then how to explain the story of Yosef HaKohen. So Rabbeinu Tam says, a person obviously cannot get married immediately after a person's wife passes away. It means right after the Shiva. Normally we say right after the Shiva. However, in the case where he doesn't have children, it's permissible immediately. Lavo alei miyad, which means he can get married and he can have relations miyad in order to fulfill the Periyah v'Nebiyah. However, in the case where he has children, he can get married, meaning he can start the process, but he cannot have relations until after 30. Now, Yosef HaKohen, this fellow in the story over here, he was at the cemetery, he was just talking shidduchin. He didn't do anything. He was just talking, you know, that he's going to make the arrangement. But he did not make kiddushin nisuin. And therefore he didn't do it until later, until after. And that's what the Gemara says, that he did it after 30 days. So again, that's the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. That the altar is not right away. It means after 7. Some want to say that this case of Yosef HaKohen was actually Erev Pesach. Tosfot says. Wow. Look at the Tosafot. Look at the Tosafot. Tibura Matril. Ve'amar la'achota bebet ha'kevarot. Lav dafka. He didn't do it in the bet ha'kevarot in itself. She'avel kol shiv'ah asur. You cannot get married during the shiv'ah. V'riva mefaresh de'zui ha'isha she'amar shomeh bezvachim perek tivud yom she'meta be'erev Pesach. She died on Erev Pesach. V'amrin na'el afilu yom echad afilu sha'achat batla mer gezrat shiv'ah. And therefore, once the holiday comes, it breaks to 7. So if it was considered as if he was after 7. So since he's after the 7, it's permissible for him to make the kiddushin, to make the marriage, and he didn't consummate it until 30 days later. So that's the way that Tosafot wants to explain. Anan, kol shloshim yom, the first 30 days of avelut legihutz, there's an isur to wear pressed clothes. And the Gemara is now going to explain what this Isur is. Ehad kelim hadashim, ve'ehad kelim yeshanim yotzin metoch ha-makbesh. Whether it's wearing new clothes, because new clothes are freshly pressed, or it's wearing old clothes that just came out of the press. The makbesh was like a press that on the table, and they would put like a stone, let's say, on top of it in order to press it. So the old clothes now look like new. So they were both these type of clothes are asut to wear during the first 30 days. Again, we should not be confused when we talked about kibbutz. Kibbutz is laundering the clothes, that's asur, the first 7. This is talking about a different procedure called pressing. Rabbi Omer, lo asru ela kelim hadashim bilvad. He says, no, that they only, hakami wa only osir, new clothes that look freshly pressed. However, old clothes seems is mutar. Rabbi Azab, Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo asru ela kelim hadashim levanim bilvad. So according to Rabbi Shimon, is more lenient. He says has to be new clothes and specifically white. That's the only type of bikadim they will say the first 30 days. Now they're going to tell some stories about the Amorei. Abaye nafik begardad de sarbela. He wore a certain type of coat made out of wool. It was old. It was saruk, they say. It was like combed. Okay? And who was he following? Like, it was the first 30 days of his avelut. So he was following Kirabi. That says, what? That old clothes are permissible. The Rabbi was only osir begadim hadashim that were pressed. Rabba nafik bihamsuta rumita summakta hadte. Rabba went out with a tunic, a Roman tunic that was red and new. Oh, who was he following like? Kirabi al-Azhar, Rabbi Shimon. That says the only thing they were sitting in the 30 days is new and white. And therefore, since it was this colored, so therefore he had what to be lenient on. We quote from the Mishnah, Mepenesha Amru, we said, Shabbat ole ve'ena mafseket. Okay. Regarding Shabbat during the week of the Avilut, Shabbat counts as one of the 7 days. However, it is not mafsekit, right? It does not break the avelut, which means the Shabbat is one of the, his avelut does not break it. So the Gemara says, Bene Yehuda, Ubne Gilila, right? The people of Yehuda and the people of the Galil, Hane Amre, which means the people of the Galil said, Yesh avelut b'Shabbat. They said that the laws of avelut apply on Shabbat. Ve'ani amre, and the others said, "En avelut b'Shabbat." There is no avelut on Shabbat. Now, the Tosafot explains over here that we're not talking about things that are done before Hesia in public. Things that are done in public, everybody agrees you cannot do on Shabbat. The machloket over here between the Bnei Yehuda and the Bnei Galil is the varim shebitzna'ah. Things that are done in private, is there even avilut in private on Shabbat, or is there no avilut in private on Shabbat? Devarim shebitzna, that's the way the Tosafot says. What would that be? For example, tashmisha mitah, washings oneself, and things like that. All those things are devarim shebitzna. Those are private things. So does those things apply in Shabbat, or does all bets are off when it comes to Shabbat? There's no din of avilut bichlal, or no? Yes, avilut b'Shabbat zot omeret bitzna. So the Gemara says, Man de amar yesh avilut b'Shabbat, the proof of the rabbi that says yesh avilut b'Shabbat, diktani ole. Mishnah. Doesn't the Mishnah say that Shabbat is ole l'minyan shiva'ah?
Yes.
What does it mean ole l'minyan shiva'ah? Must be because it's one of the days of avilut. Which of course, if it was in avilut b'Shabbat, how can you tell me it's ole l'minyan? Okay. Man de amar en avilut b'Shabbat. According to the opinion that says that there's no avilut b'Shabbat, diktani ena mafseket. Because the Mishnah says it doesn't break. So this is the way he has. We have a little roundabout proof over here. He says like this: Isal kadatach yesh avilut b'Shabbat. If you were going to tell me that there is avilut b'Shabbat, hashta avilut nahaga. You're telling me that there's avilut. Afsuke mebaya. Do you have to tell me that it is mafsik? Which means, if you tell me there's avilut on Shabbat, you have to tell me it's not mafsik? Which means again, if there was yesh avilut b'Shabbat, it's superfluous for the Mishnah to tell me that it's not mafsik. Ela must be telling me a chidush, that even though in avilut b'Shabbat, it's still not mafsik. Again, you have to learn the chidush of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says ve'ena mafsik. Okay? Now, he says, it's got to have a chidush in those words. In a mafsik. It doesn't break. So he says, if you're going to tell me yesh avilut b'Shabbat, so do you have to tell me in a mafsik? Of course, there's avilut b'Shabbat. The guy's going to be mafsik. And it must be the cases like this. The Mishnah is trying to teach you. Really, in avilut b'Shabbat. Oh, in avilut b'Shabbat. And the chidush of Mishnah is, and still it is not mafsik. Because normally you'd say if there's no avilut, just like on a holiday. In avilut in a holiday, you'd say it should be mafsik. So for the second statement of the Mishnah to be a chidush, it only is a chidush if you say in avilut b'Shabbat. This means in avilut b'Shabbat, and even so, it's not mafsik. I repeat again, because if you said yesh avilut b'Shabbat, vaday yesh avilut b'Shabbat, the guy sitting there, he has avilut. Vaday it's not mafsik. What do you have to tell me, Mishnah? I should know. Ve'en mafsiket. Of course, ena mafsiket. Yesh avilut b'Shabbat. And you have to tell me the case is what? En avilut b'Shabbat. Oh, even though en avilut b'Shabbat, the chidush is what? En mafsiket. It doesn't break. Oh, ve'elaha ketani. So the answer according to that opinion. Ole. Which means if you're telling me en avilut b'Shabbat, and that's why the Mishnah had to tell me en mafseket. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me that it's ole? Which means if it's not mafsik, if it's not mafsik for sure, it's going to be ole. Which means already according to that opinion, the word ole now is superfluous because you already told me it's en mafsik. Right? You tell me in avilut b'Shabbat, and the chidush, even though in avilut b'Shabbat, it's not going to be mafsik. So what do you have to tell me? It's all there. Of course, if you tell me it's in a mafsik, it doesn't break the avilut. For sure, it's going to be all there. The chidush is that it's not mafsik. Okay, why don't you tell me it's not mafsik? So for sure, it's got to be all there. So what do you tell me? All there. So Kavzi Gavarad says, Aidi de kaba'el mitna sefa enam olim. Says you're right. Since at the end of the Mishnah, it gave me a case of enam olim. Mm-hmm. That's a case where somebody died on the holiday. So the holiday itself is not counted in the minyan shiva. The shiva starts after the holiday. So since we had a case of Enam Olim at the end of the Mishnah, Tana Resha Oleh. So the Mishnah Derech Agav said the word Oleh. But really, according to that opinion that says Enam Olim B'Shabbat, the main word is, it's not Mafsik. That's what the Hiddush is.
Obviously.
And because that's the Hiddush, that even though there's no Avelut, it's not Mafsik. When you tell me it's not Mafsik, that means it's Oleh. That's what we have to tell us before. Derech Agav, since at the end of the Mishnah it said, there's certain cases where, let's for example, the regal is not Oleh, when somebody dies on the regal itself, not Oleh. So the Resh, I wanted to keep conformity, it put Oleh even though it's superfluous. We'll never go the other way. Ulman de'amar yesh avilut b'Shabbat. According to the opinion that says there is avilut on Shabbat, ha'ketani, it says in the Mishnah, ena mafseket. Which means, that's obvious. If you're telling me that there's avilut on Shabbat, of course ena mafseket. What do you need a Mishnah to tell me something that's so obvious? Again, if there's avilut on Shabbat, so this avilut, the guy's being avil. I can just tell me he's mafseket. I need a Mishnah to tell me in a mafseket. So the Gemara says, you're right. Mishum de kaba'il mitnas sefa mafsikin. Because since we have a case in the Mishnah where we gave a case of mafsiki, what's that case? Where somebody dies before the holiday. So the holiday is mafsik. So therefore, tanaresha in a mafseket. So the Mishnah had to give a case of in a mafseket, which basically the Gemara is saying, the yesh avilut b'Shabbat, in avilut b'Shabbat, both rabbis are learning our Mishnah according to their opinion. Right? The opinion that's saying en avilut b'Shabbat, he's focusing on the words over there, en mafseket. The hadush is that even though there's no avilut, still it's not going to be mafsik. So the pashut was have to tell me it's oleh. Oleh is agav the sefa. And according to the opinion that says yesh avilut b'Shabbat, which is proof, yesh avilut b'Shabbat because it's oleh. So he says, if there's yesh avilut b'Shabbat and it's oleh, you have to tell me it's en mafseket? Yeah, en mafseket, agav the sefa. Comes the Gemara continues, Lema ketana'e. Let us say that this machloket between Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Galil, yesh avilut b'Shabbat, en avilut b'Shabbat, let's say that that's a machloket tana'im. Now we go to Masechet Berachot. Mi shemeto muta lefanav. Okay, person has, let's say, a relative that's in front of him, meaning it's on him that he has to bury. Ochel bebayit acher. He should eat in a different house, not in the same house in front of the mit, because it's considered lo'eg la'ras. If a person eats in front of the deceased, even in the same house, it's like a zilzul to the mit. So therefore, as if he's saying, he's sitting in front of you, eating him, and you're not taking care of the burial. Mm-hmm. It's like you're neglecting him, but the guy's hungry. So if he wants to eat, he has to go to a different house. V'im en lo bayit acher. Let's say he doesn't have another house or room to eat in. Ochel bebet havero. He goes to his friend's house. En lo bet havero. Let's say his friend doesn't have a house for him to go to. Oselo mechisa asana tefachim. Let him make a partition, 10 tefachim between him and the mat, and then he could eat in front of him. En lo davar la'asot mechisa. Let's say he doesn't have materials to make a mechisa. Mahazir pana ve'ochel. He just turns around, and turns his face away, and he eats. Okay, so that's already permissible. Ve'enu meseh ve'ochel. Okay, when he eats, he doesn't lean. The way of Hashuvi people, the way they used to eat in the olden days, they would lean. But this is not proper in front of the mit to do such a thing. Okay? Because he might forget the obligation to bury. Okay, at this point, he's not allowed to eat meat, nor is he allowed to drink wine. Again, same reason, we don't want him to forget the surche hamit by drinking wine and things. Ve'en mevarech. He does not have to make any berachot, which means berachat nehenim. Before he eats, he does not have to make the berachah of hamotzi. Ve'en mezamen. Mezamen means he does not have to make berachat hamazon after he finishes eating. Ve'en mevarchin alav. Which is, nor do other people have to be motzi him. Which is, you might think he doesn't make the berachah, but maybe somebody else will make hamotzi for him and he'll answer amen. No. Others do not make the berachah for him as well. Ve'en mezamenim alav. They cannot count this person as part of the zimun. Let's say there was two other people that were eating. This guy is not counted in the zimun. Upatur mikriyat shema is exempt from the kriyat shema because his mind is preoccupied on the burial. Okay, like we said in the Masechet Berachot, hatam patur mikriyat shema. So in this case also he's patur. Umin hatefilah, he's patur also tefilah because he cannot concentrate. Umin hatefilin, okay, tefilin as well. Now, it goes without saying tefillin, because even on the first day, the avil is patur from tefillin. It's just saying derech agav that we said tefillah and kiryat shema, so we're saying tefillin as well. Umikol mitzvot ha'amurot b'Torah, which means this guy's an onin. The onin technically is exempt from all positive commandments of the Torah. Of course, you cannot do the lota says, but it's exempt from any positive commandment. The logic would be is because he's osik b'mitzvah. We have a rule, osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Very good. Ube Shabbat. Now, on Shabbat, when let's say this happened, where he's an onin, we cannot bury the dead, his relative. Meseh ve'ochel. He eats and he eats regular way with aseba. It's a question if you can eat in front of the mat or not on Shabbat. Ve'ochel basar v'shoteh yain. If he wants to have meat and wine, mutar. Umbarech, he makes birkat ha-motzi. Umzamen, he makes birkat ha-mazon. Umbarechim, and other people can make the beracha for him as well. Umzamenim alaf, and he makes part of the, he's part of the zimun. Ve'chayav b'kriyat shema, u'betfilah u'betefilin. Okay, obviously take out the tefillin, because tefillin they don't wear on Shabbat. But the point is, chayav to praise, chayav to say kriyat shema. Ubchol mitzvot. Ha'amurot b'Torah. Rabban Gamliel Omer. Rabban Gamliel comes along and says, "Mitoch shelet hayev be'elu." Once he's hayav and all these things on Shabbat, berachot and so on and so forth, nitchayev bechulan. He's actually hayav in all the mitzvot. We're going to see what is he coming to include. When the first rabbi says hayav in all the mitzvot, what is Rabban Shimon Gamliel coming to say? That he's hayav in. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, tashmish mita ikabenayu. Which means, according to Tanakama, he's saying only things that are bifarhesya are going to be mutar. Which means he can eat in the normal way. He's allowed to eat wine, drink wine, eat meat, stuff like that. That's bifarhesya stuff. However, tashmisha mitah, that's bitzina, Tanakama is going to say asur. However, Rabban Shimon, Rabbi Shimon comes along and says once, Rabban. The Ben Gamliel comes along and says, once already we're matiting him with all these other things, it's mutar for him to do everything. What's everything? Even tashmisha mitah. So it comes out, here we see the machloket of yesh avilut b'shabbat or en avilut b'shabbat. We found the machloket tanaim. Again, according to Tanakama, yesh avilut b'shabbat. Because he's saying tashmisha mitah is going to be asur. The Ben Gamliel came along and said, once he's permissible with these things, he's permissible with everything. What's everything?
Tishmish.
Not only the Varim Shefaresia, even the Varim Shebisana. So what do you see according to the Ben Gamliel? En Avelut B'Shabbat. So we found the Mahloket Tanaim. So he was at my lab, how come it palge? Must be, this is the Mahloket. The more Sabar, yesh Avelut B'Shabbat. Or more Sabar, en Avelut B'Shabbat.
There
you go. So Gemara says, no. Mimai, who told you? Dilma adka no kamar tanakama atam. You know why I'll tell you Tanaka also said tashmish? Ela mishum demeto mutal lefanav. Because he's an onen. Maybe onen is worse because he didn't bury his dead yet. But maybe I'll tell you once already the dead is buried, then I'll tell you he'll hold. En avilut b'shabbat. Which means that already, which is in this case over here, Tanakama said what? Tashmish is asur. That's in Avilut B'Shabbat. I'm sorry, that means Yesh Avilut. Yesh Avilut. The fact that Tanakama was Osir Tashmish, Yesh Avilut. So, well, see that? Yesh Avilut B'Shabbat. No. All you see in this case of is an Onen has to deal with an Onen on Shabbat is Mahmir. But could, because the Metom Mutal Fanav has obligation to bury the dead. But who knows, maybe after already he buries, maybe even the Hakamim will tell you that what? En Avilut B'Shabbat. So you have no Ra'aya. So you have Al-Haka, the En Metom Mutal Fanav. But in the case, well, let's say he's buried already. No. No. Maybe the Tanakama will come along and say that maybe Tashmish is not Asur. Because he'll hold en avilut b'Shabbat. Now the Gemara goes the other way. Ve'ad kan lo kamar Rabban Gamliel atam. Da'akati lo hal avilut aleh. I go the other way. You know why Rabban Gamliel was matit tashmish? Because the laws of avilut did not hal on him yet. He's still only an onin. So I go the other way. So I tell you, he holds, yeah, there's en avilut because he's onin. Aval, ha'chad hal avilut aleh. But in the case where the avilut starts, ha'chinameh. Maybe an ha'chinameh will come along and say, that yesh avilut, and therefore you have no ra'ayah to say that these rabbis, based on what they said by onen, are going to say it by avilut. You could say sevarot afuchot. You could say one was more mahmir by onen because meto mutal lefanav. But by Avel it'll be more lenient. You can say, no, the other way is that by Onen he was lenient, by Avel it'll be more stringent because now he's entering the Avelut stage, and then we have no ayah that it's a machloket Tanaim. It just remains a machloket in Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Galil. Let's just review the halachot that come out. Halacha says like this: the laws of Avelut are hal only after Kiburat Tamit. That's clear. That's when the 7 days of Avelut begin. According to this, a onen is mutar in all the things that an Avel is asur in. For example, onen would be mutar in Tashmish Amita. Number two, the laws of Avelut apply even in a onen certain things, except for the isur of, let's say, shoes. And Onen can wear shoes because they want him to bury the dead. They don't want him to delay and things like that. And then it says, "En dinei avilut chalim ela lachar kivura v'afapichen asur leonen leechol basar v'leshtot yayin." They still do not allow the onen to drink meat and wine. V'chen l'shamesh mitato. We'll see what that means. Mishum kalut rosh, because of lightheadedness. וגם כדי שלא יסיח דעתו מלתעסק בקבורה. So that's the Tosafot's opinion. So because we have a מחלוק, is onen מותר בתשמיש או אסור בתשמיש? So this is the הלכה, אסור העונן בתשמיש המיטה, בין בחול, בין בשבת. והוא הדין שאסור בשבת בשבת דברים. So because that's a מחלוקת ראשונים לגבי תשמיש for a onen. You have the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah that was matir. You have the opinion of Tosafot that was osen. Halakha, it is asur.